So I am your next presenter. My name is Emily Tang, and I'm going to be talking about the identification and quantification of anthocyanidins in modern poinsettia cultivars using high-performance liquid chromatography, or HPLC. So we all know poinsettias are the most popular holiday plant, and they're commercially produced in all 50 states. And the colored bracts are the most important feature. They range in colors from red to pink to white. There are lots of novelty cultivars. Yet there's relatively little research, scientific research, studying the pigments in poinsettia bracts. I've only found about 10 published papers on this particular subject in the last 50 years. I also wanted to point out the Euphorbia hybrids. They've been available for about 10 or so years now. You may be familiar with them, or hopefully you've seen them before, but they're the result of a cross between traditional poinsettias and Euphorbia cornastra, which is shown up here in the corner. They're really different from traditional poinsettias in that the colors are really bright, almost like a neon pink, or there's also different lines where there's a pure white and some bright pastel pinks. Anthocyanins, I wanted to briefly go over. Plants produce four types of pigments. Of course, there's chlorophyll, carotenoids, flavonoids, and betalains. The anthocyanins are water-soluble flavonoids commonly found in plant tissue. They're really important in the color of roots, stems, leaves, fruits, and flowers, and there are more than 500 that are naturally occurring. Usually, they're found in outer epidermal cells, dissolved in the vacuoles within the cell. So here you can see the picture of a cross-section of a Freedom Red poinsettia bract, and you can see the anthocyanins in the outer epidermal cells. An important distinction between anthocyanins and then anthocyanidins. Anthocyanins are derived by adding sugars such as glucose or galactose to anthocyanidins. So anthocyanidins are the sugar-free base molecules of anthocyanins. Anthocyanidins rarely occur in plants as they're unstable compared to their glycosylated form. Here are the six most common anthocyanidins that are found in plants: pelargonidin, cyanidin, delphinidin, pionidin, pitunidin, and malvidin. And then HPLC is the most commonly used method to identify and quantify anthocyanins. It's a technique that we use to separate, identify, and quantify a compound using its chemical properties. What it does is it passes the compound through a column with solvents using very high pressure. So you can see the major components in the simplified diagram of HPLC. And then what you do is you use commercially available reference standards to identify and quantify the compounds. For anthocyanin profiles of modern poinsettia cultivars, they haven't been investigated in great detail. So the objective of my research is to identify and quantify the anthocyanidins in modern poinsettia cultivars. And I've done this in five different cultivars. We've got three different colors from the Premier series, which is red, pink, and white, then a different red, Freedom Red, and then one of the hybrids I talked about called Poinsettia Dark Pink. The plants were grown outdoors under natural day lanes in Honolulu, Hawaii, and the bracts were collected at key development stages and frozen at minus 80 degrees Celsius until analysis. You can see the stages here below. For traditional poinsettias, collected at first color, visible bud, nectar gland anthesis, and secondary anthesis. And the hybrids are slightly different as they didn't reliably enter secondary anthesis as the anthers seemed to abort. So instead I used nectar as a more clear stage, but similar timing. I'll quickly go over the anthocyanin extraction technique for HPLC analysis. If you want more detail, I did a poster on this last year here at this conference. But it's a long, labor-intensive process. It takes about 4 days from start to finish. First day, you extract the anthocyanins by freezing and grinding the bracts in liquid nitrogen. You grind them to a fine powder, and then you extract them in a slightly acidified methanol solution. On day two, you pre-purify by removing lipophilic compounds with the hexane and water partition. Then you remove free sugars and separate other flavonoids using a C18 silica matrix. The third day, you do the acid hydrolysis, and this is where we separate the sugars from the anthocyanins to leave just the anthocyanidin base. So this is important, as I explained earlier. The reason it's important is for HPLC analysis. We want to simplify it and make a clear distinction between the anthocyanidins. If you leave the sugars on, because there are different sugars that can attach to different areas on the molecule, you'll get a lot of different peaks. So it'll be a little bit confusing as to what is what. So this is why we wanted to do the anthocyanidins instead. So what you do is you hydrolyze them in a strong acid, 95 degrees for 90 minutes. And finally, you do the analysis, you prepare your samples and standards in a solvent, and do the HPLC analysis. So here is what I found. For four out of the five cultivars analyzed, we found cyanidin and pelargonidin. This is to be expected, as the pigments that color, cyanidin and pelargonidin are what confers reds, oranges, and pink shades to plants. And in the past studies that have been done, they did find cyanidin and pelargonidin to be the major components. These chromatograms show you how I was able to determine which is which. The bottom picture is the picture of the anthocyanidin standards. So you can see the different peaks for the different standards. The x-axis is the retention time, which is the time that the compound elutes out of the column. And the y-unit is it's a unitless measure of absorbance. So what you do is you take the area of the curve under the peak, and that tells you the amount. And then the matching times is what tells you what's in the compound. So here are the measurements. So using those measurements, I was able to quantify how much cyanidin and pelargonidin was in each sample. So here's cyanidin. The freedom red, as you can see on the top, the red line, has a much higher concentration of cyanidin than the other three premier colors. It goes through a quick accumulation after the visible bud stage, peaks at anthesis, and then starts to decline. For the premier series, there were much lower concentrations, and interestingly, they don't differ a whole lot between the red, pink, and the white, and there's no major accumulation stage like the freedom red went through. This is a similar graph, but showing the pelargonidin concentrations. I want to point out the difference in the y-axis measurement. These are much lower concentrations. So the previous one, we went up to, I think the freedom red went over 60 nanograms per kilogram, and here we're under 8. But they follow a similar pattern. The freedom red has more pelargonidin than the premier series, and it also goes through that same rapid accumulation after visible bud stage, peaks at anthesis, and then starts to go back down. And then the premier red, premier series don't differ a whole lot between the colors. For the Poinsettia pink hybrid that I analyzed, surprisingly, we didn't find any peaks for cyanidin and pelargonidin in these. And at first, I thought there was no peaks at all, but when I scaled down the units, I found a small peak here at 1.48 minutes. You can see how small it is with the units on the absorbance y-axis. This sort of matches with the delphinidin peak, but this would be a really unexpected result because we've never found any delphinidin in poinsettias, and delphinidin is what usually confers blue. So for now, I think it's inconclusive, and I think I'm going to have to do some more analysis to figure out what's causing the color in poinsettia pink. So in conclusion, not sure yet what is causing the color for Prince City pink. It could possibly be a different anthocyanidin, normally found in traditional poinsettias, the cyanidin and the pelargonidin. Maybe it is a different one that's conferred by the different parent in the hybrid, I'm not sure. Or perhaps there are other mechanisms at work. Sometimes there's phenomena such as copigmentation or metal complexes between anthocyanins and other compounds that could cause color changes in plants. So that is going to require some more analysis. For the other four cultivars where we measured cyanidin and pelargonidin, we found noteworthy differences in the content between the cultivars, between the series, especially the Freedom versus the Premier. And it seems like perhaps the key is the ratio between the cyanidin and pelargonidin that's causing the difference between the red versus pink versus white. So as I mentioned, there's not a lot of information actually known about pigments in poinsettias, which is rather surprising given the importance of this crop, and especially because color is the key feature that gets people to buy them every year. So I could only find actually one paper that was published about anthocyanin content, particularly for pink and white cultivars, and it claimed to be the first study of its kind. So hopefully, I guess this would be the second. As breeders, they're always trying to create new, improved varieties. Of course, there's a lot of characteristics that they're breeding for, as we heard with the nitrogen efficiency, but color is always going to be one of those top priorities. So knowing the detailed profiles of the pigments responsible should help the breeders make some hybridization decisions when they're doing their work. So for the future, additional cultivars will be analyzed for a more robust profile of poinsettia anthocyanin content. I actually have a total of 14 that are going to be analyzed. They're going to include a hybrid, which is a pure white, another pink hybrid, the orange spice variety. I also have the Euphorbia cornaster species, unreleased hybrids and their parents, and also a genetically derived pink versus a mutation-derived pink. And also, there's going to be studies on the effect of temperature, in particular heat delay, on anthocyanin development. Heat delay is when flowering is and coloration is delayed in high temperatures, which is a significant problem for growers in warm climates, such as Hawaii or the Southeast U.S. So Dr. Jim Faust, who many of you probably know, is working on this with his students, doing studies on flower development in relation to heat delay. So hopefully what I find out about anthocyanin development in relation to that will answer some of the questions we have about heat delay. We're also going to be doing, well, I'm also working on expression analysis of one of the key genes in the anthocyanin pathway that will be conducted in addition to the HPLC to further unravel how anthocyanins work. There's a lot of different things we could go on about what could be done on this subject, but I have to keep on time, so I won't go on. So that is my talk. I'll leave you a picture of my favorite place, Pang's Nursery, where I work at home in Hawaii. So this is where I learned to grow poinsettias, everything I know about it. And last week, the first cuttings already came in for this season, which is always surprising to me, even though I know it's coming every year. Every year, I can't believe it's already time. So thank you very much. Questions? Yes? So the question is how I selected the cultivars. So as I mentioned, I have a really large range. I wanted to try to include as many different features as possible. So I chose the three in a series to compare three colors in a series. And then I also chose a different red so I can compare two different reds. I also have, I didn't even mention different whites, and then I mentioned the different pinks. So mostly it was based on having a large range, partially based on what I was familiar with and what I knew I could grow well or wouldn't take too long to grow. Any other questions? Yes. I'm sorry. Okay, so the question is, I mentioned dalphinidin hadn't been found in poinsettias, and is that true of the hybrids? The hybrids have actually never been analyzed for anthocyanin content before, so it's a question. I would be really surprised if it's there. I think maybe that's just a fluke, but I'll have to do some more analysis to see what happens.